privilege of meeting together, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, learning your word, and equipping ourselves to do the work of the ministry that you have for us. We thank you that each one of us can be stable and we can have answers to questions that come up in life. We thank you for your word that's clear and plain and pertinent to us, that we can take it and use it. We pray that we might divide it accurately and spiritually, that we might get the force of it and understand what God has to say to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we go into any scripture here in the book of Acts, I want to give you a few facts about speaking in tongues. And I'm going to put them on the screen up here so that you can see them. Try and get them off the roof. A few pertinent facts, I think, about the gift of tongues in the New Testament. And these are quite revealing to you, as you'll see as we go along. There are 31,173 verses in the King James Version of the Bible, and only 26 of these verses even mention tongues at all whatsoever. Only 26 out of 31,000 plus. Now, that should tell us something about the importance of it. It only occurs in three different books in the New Testament. Only three at all whatsoever. And that's in Mark chapter 16, Acts chapter 2, 10, and 19. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. And these are the only places that speaking in tongues are mentioned at all. Now, when I say mention at all, I mean they are mentioned at all whatsoever. And if you can find one other place found in the New Testament, I'd like to know where it is, because I do not know, and I have searched diligently for this. And there aren't any other verses in the whole New Testament that mention, except in these six or seven chapters in the New Testament. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul gives three listings of the gifts, and they are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. Also, there's a list in verse 28 and a list in 29 and 30. These three lists, he always lists tongues last. And in one of those, we know that he is talking about, he is listing them as far as importance is concerned. So when a person says that the gift of tongues is vitally important and it is necessary for a person to speak in tongues to be saved, then poor John, in all of his gospel, he wrote the whole thing to prove that Jesus Christ was God and that by believing on his name you can have eternal life. But he never even mentions tongues at all whatsoever, so he missed the whole point in his book. Now that's amazing, isn't it? That John would blow the whole thing. Now, Paul, in his dissertation in Romans chapter 3, he does not mention speaking in tongues at all whatsoever, and he's telling us there how we can be justified by faith in Jesus Christ and how we can have a righteousness from God. He blows the whole thing. That's what he was writing about in Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5. It's how that we can be saved, how that we can be born again, how we can have eternal life, but he misses the whole point. He goes through all those three chapters and does not even mention it at all whatsoever. In fact, he doesn't mention it in the book of Romans at all. And anybody with one eye and half sense ought to know that the book of Romans is the book that tells us how to be justified by faith. So there must be something wrong with that kind of thinking. Now, the fourth thing is Paul and Peter do not list it at all in their gifts. In Ephesians, in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Peter 3, 4. He doesn't even mention them at all. The only time he mentions the gifts of speaking in tongues is in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul, that is. And the reason why he's mentioning it there is because they have been misusing and they have been abusing their spiritual gifts. And is it possible that they were abusing and misusing the gift of speaking in tongues? Well, of course I think so. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. Now, there may be doubt in your mind, and that's perfectly all right. You have the privilege. You have the privilege of disagreeing with this, and I'm not going to be mad at you, and I hope you're not going to be mad at me if we disagree. Now, like I say, that's your prerogative if you want to believe that Paul is using that in a good sense, but it seems to me in the context that he is talking about this. In fact, in the 12th chapter, in the first verse, he says, now concerning spirituals, they had written him about it, and they must have had some kind of question about it, because all through the book of 1 Corinthians, they have written him, and they have asked him about certain problems. And he'll say, now concerning this problem, now concerning that problem, now concerning the other problem. And now he's talking about concerning the problem of gifts, and he talks a good bit about that, the gift of tongues, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Now, the fifth observation that we need to make is that when it talks about speaking in tongues, it's talking about speaking about a known language. We saw that last week in Acts chapter 2. That it was a known language. It was not an unknown language. In fact, Luke named 16 different languages that Peter and the other apostles spoke in on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit initially came there to the church. Now, the sixth observation, or the sixth fact that we need to observe, is that there is no place in the New Testament where it tells about anybody speaking in tongues in private. Now, a lot of people are talking about edifying themselves by speaking in tongues in private. If you want to do that in private, that's perfectly all right with me. But there's no place in the Bible where it says specifically and emphatically and clearly that anybody spoke in tongues in private. Now, like I say, just because it doesn't say that it's there, doesn't say it doesn't exist. Well, that's going on the argument of silence. And there are a lot of things that the Bible is silent about. But you cannot prove that you can speak in tongues in private through the Word of God. The only thing you can go by is experience, and that's mighty thin. We also know that it is not a universal gift. Not everybody has it. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's very, very, very obvious that everybody does not have the gift of speaking in tongues. Paul never exhorted anybody. In the Old Testament, every Christian was not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Only since the day of Pentecost has everybody that has trusted Jesus Christ been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Since Pentecost, everyone who trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, everyone who believes that He died, was buried, and rose again the third day, and they trust Him as their Savior, the moment they do that, God the Holy Spirit indwells their bodies, He regenerates them, indwells them, and stays there permanently until they die physically, or until we will be translated one day. And I believe we will be. We've been talking about this on Sunday night. We'll continue to talk about this and give some more information about our being taken out of this world one of these days. We'll go up to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be with Him forever. It's going to be a great time. Well, with the beginning of Pentecost, we saw that last week in Acts chapter 2. That's Jerusalem. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and then in Judea. And then in Samaria, and after we go to Samaria, then we're going to go to the uttermost parts of the world. Now I want you to look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 44 once again. Here we have, in the context, Peter has been preaching in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. A Gentile which is part of the uttermost parts of the world. You see, in Jerusalem you had who? Jews. And the Bible over and over again says the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Now the reason why he gives it to the Jews first is because he picked out the Jews as his nation to evangelize the world. He gave the Messiah through the Jewish nation. He gave the Word of God through the Jewish nation. And they were supposed to take that good news and spread it around the world. They were to be God's vehicle of spreading the gospel. Now, they didn't do too good a job. So God says, we're going to set them aside for a while. We're going to put Israel aside. We saw this in Romans chapter 9. that Israel has been sidetracked for temporarily. Now, Israel is going to have the opportunity again someday to pick up and start evangelizing again. In fact, as soon as the church is taken out, 144,000 Jews are going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not immediately. I'm sure it's going to be one at a time. We don't know what kind of evangelistic campaign it's going to take to do it. But there are going to be 144,000 Jews. J-E-W-S. Jews. Revelation chapter 7 tells us this. And then they're going to begin to evangelize. And they're going to tell others about the gospel, about salvation, about Jesus Christ dying. Now that will be not only Jews they'll tell, but they'll also tell Gentiles. And they will evangelize for 3.5 years, and they'll do a great job at it. And there are going to be a lot of people who are going to trust Christ as Savior. A lot of them are going to die. Well, that's Jews. And it started out at Jerusalem, and then Judea and Samaria. And we skip Samaria momentarily because we'll see in just a moment. And here we come to the Gentiles. And in verse 44 it says, Peter yet spake these words. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them who heard the word. Now these were Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit falls upon them. The Holy Spirit comes, and he comes, if you please. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are placed into the body of Christ. Now, here's a little significant statement that you might want to jot down. The baptism of the Holy Spirit places you into the body of Jesus Christ, the church. Regeneration places you into the family of God. The doctrine of the regeneration, that places you into the family of God. You see, in the Word of God, there are a whole lot of different doctrines that it takes to explain to us, actually, the little word salvation or being saved. There are a number of things that happen. In fact, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, at least 34 different things happen to you that moment that you trust Him as your Savior. You are regenerated. That puts you in the family. You're baptized with the Holy Spirit. That puts you into the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is a little bit different than the Old Testament saints. See, they're not in the body of Christ. Those people who were saved prior to the day of Pentecost are not in the body of Christ. They are not part of the bride of Christ. This is the mystery that Paul talks about in Ephesians. This is the mystery he talks about in Colossians. This is the mystery that he talks about in the book of Romans, the body of Christ. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit puts us into the body of Christ. And so we have had Jews who have been placed into the body of Christ. Acts chapter 2 that we saw last Sunday morning. They were baptized and they began to speak with other tongues that they did not know, other of a different kind of tongues that they didn't know. And here we have, those were Jews. Now they were all Jews. They were scattered all over the world. And you read the context again, and if I'm telling you, if that's not the truth, then you can come up afterwards and show me from the context of Acts chapter 2 where I'm wrong. But they were all Jews there. And here we have Gentiles. Now, they are Jews who are coming here because Peter is a Jew. Now, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them who heard the word, and they of the circumcision. Now, who is the circumcision? Jews. They of the circumcision who believe. Now these are saved Jews. They have believed, and they are saved Jews, were astonished. What? Well, we've had those who were there at Pentecost. They were Jews, and boy, they were all saved. Those who believed on Christ. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other languages. Now, we skipped Acts chapter 8, where we have the Samaritans. Now, who are Samaritans? Half Jew and half Gentile. They were half breeds. And we're going to go back to them in just a moment. But now we have Gentiles. No Jew in them at all. But now there are Jews present. They've been preaching. They have gone there to Cornelius' house. And they that are the circumcision, and I believe Luke here is emphasizing this, they that are the circumcision who believe, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Now, Peter's a Jew, and here's some more Jews who came from Jerusalem down here to Cornelius' house to give them the gospel. Notice, and he says, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues, other languages, and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized? Water baptism. That's what we do back here behind the screen. Why? Because when a person believes, then he should be baptized. And it's always that formula. You believe first, and then you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then later on you're baptized with water as a testimony not to be saved. They were saved when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were saved when they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came in and regenerated them. And then later they were baptized with water. Now that's not our sermon this morning. We're talking about speaking with tongues. So we have here the Gentiles. And they spoke in tongues. And this is the second occurrence in the word in the book of Acts where the speaking in tongues is mentioned. Now we've already looked through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, where it's mentioned. We have not looked at Mark chapter 16, and I doubt we're going to have time. Not going to have time this morning to do that, and we may not. You can look that for yourself. We'll be glad to discuss that with you. But I want you to turn with me now to chapter 19, and this is the third occurrence in the book of Acts where speaking in tongues is mentioned. And here we have Old Testament saints. We have pointed this out on a number of occasions, how that here Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was at Ephesus, and probably this is when Paul writes his letter to the Corinthians while he's here at Ephesus. It says, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper borders, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now Ephesus is quite a distance from Jerusalem. Ephesus is quite a distance from the Jordan River. Now, you can actually see the Jordan River from the Mount of Olives. Or at least you can see the Dead Sea where the Jordan, just where the Jordan River runs into it. You actually can't see the Jordan River, but you can see the Dead Sea, and it runs right into it right there. I've seen it with my own two eyes, so I know. But Ephesus is a long ways off, many moons away. Many days travel, particularly in those days. Of course, not today, but in those days, several days. And he came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Or actually, literally it says, did you receive the Holy Spirit believing? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard that there was any Holy Spirit. Now, why didn't they know about the Holy Spirit if they believed on Jesus Christ? Because John the Baptist didn't preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because John the Baptist was an Old Testament prophet. John the Baptist preached in the Old Testament. The New Testament does not go into effect until the death of the one who gave the testament. The New Testament doesn't go into effect until after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist died 6 months before Jesus did. So John could not have been preaching the Messiah has died. What do I preach? Jesus has died on the cross. The Messiah has already come and died and paid for sin. What was John preaching? The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is going to pay for your sin. The Messiah is here on earth and he's coming to die. He's the Savior. Behold the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. You see, he's coming. He hasn't died yet. And so they were baptized under John's preaching. Notice verse 3. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? Now, Paul had found out that they had been baptized. They had had water baptism, but they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. Well, now, who in the world has been talking to you? Here's some incompoop
who doesn't know the Scriptures. We got to find out who he is so we can straighten him out. Because he's leading people astray. And people aren't being baptized with the Holy Spirit. We can't let this man go around loose. And so Paul tries to find out. And he finds out that it was John the Baptist. So everything's all right. Because John's already dead. And he's with the Lord now. See? So Paul doesn't have to go find this guy and straighten him out. He says it was John's baptism. And then Paul explains. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism unto repentance, saying unto the people. Now notice what John says. He said unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after. Circle that little word, after. After him, that is, on the Christ. John the Baptist died. 6 months later, the Lord Jesus Christ died. And John was pointing to the time when the Messiah would come and die. Now, I realize that there are a lot of people today who call themselves charismatic. And they use this verse of Scripture to say that you got to be saved, and then later on you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you see, they use this as the example. But you see, that just completely wipes that out in the context. I mean, just completely wipes that out. Because these were Old Testament people. These were people who were saved in the Old Testament. They were believing on the Christ who should come afterwards. And notice, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, John baptized him. And John baptized him saying, Messiah's coming. And Paul baptized him, or somebody with Paul baptized him, said, the Messiah has come. So here's people that have been baptized twice. So all you people who've been baptized twice, don't feel too bad. I've been baptized twice. My wife's been baptized 3 times. Some of you have been baptized several times because you were baptized and then you believed. You see. You were baptized, and later on you'll be. I was baptized at 12. I believed at 19. So I had to be baptized again. And if you were baptized, and then you believed, then you should be baptized again. Well, that's not the point. Notice. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, the baptism of the Spirit, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And about 12 of them. Now, these were Old Testament saints, and they became New Testament saints. And they spoke in tongues. Now, these are the only 3 accounts in the book of Acts where we have speaking in tongues. So what do we got? We've got Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Then we've got the Gentiles, Acts chapter 10. And then we've got some Old Testament saints, Acts chapter 19. And we're seeing how that now the gospel is spread around the world. Now, I want you to turn with me back to chapter 8, because here in chapter 8, he does not say specifically that they spoke in tongues, but it is intimated. Now, and we'll show you how he intimates this. No wonder it didn't read right. I went back to John. Acts chapter 8. Beginning at verse 15. He said, and when they were come down, prayed with them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Now here we're talking about Samaria, of the Samaritans. And they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles, Peter, John, they come down, and they are talking to them, and they realize they have not received the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, though, then laid they their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They received it. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast sought the gift of God, that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now, here we see that it doesn't say that anybody spoke in tongues. But it does say that Simon saw that when the Holy Spirit was given, he saw something. He saw a difference. They were saved, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened? We don't know. It didn't say they spoke in tongues. It didn't say they didn't speak in tongues. It just says that Simon saw it. He saw something happen there. Now, well, there was a tremendous change in their countenance, the way they looked, if it was a tremendous change in their actions, or if it was some of the other manifestations like speaking in tongues. We just don't know. But it's a possibility that they did speak in tongues here. And if it is, then that even makes stronger our case here that in the beginning of the church, we have the manifestations of the speaking in tongues to show the coming of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the church. Now, we have shown that the gift of apostleship is fading out. With that, there's the possibility of other sign gifts fading out. And I want you to turn to one other verse of Scripture before we close. And we've looked at this verse of Scripture one time before in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now the signs of an apostle. The apostles laid hands on people. They received the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues. That is a gift. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Even though the apostles laid their hands on it, it was still a gift of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that everybody did that. We have no account of other people doing this. Just these accounts that we have read this morning, and that's it. We don't have an account of the Philippian jailer doing it, and so on and so forth. Now, some of these sign gifts, have they vanished? We know they did. We know that even though the signs of the apostles are great signs and wonders and mighty deeds, yet we know beyond any doubt that in the beginning, Paul could just heal people without any problem. But at the end of his ministry, he could not heal himself. He had a thorn in the flesh. He couldn't remove it. He left the man there at Ephesus because he was sick. Well, if he left him sick, why couldn't he heal him? He had the gift of healing. He looked at a man, and the man went blind. And now Paul's in jail and can't get out. And yet, right after the church was organized, old Peter was in jail, and what happened to him? They had a little all-night prayer meeting. What happened? He just got out of jail. He just walked right on out. Well, why couldn't Paul do that? Why didn't Paul do that? Toward the end of his ministry. Practically all the apostles were martyred. Why? Why? If they had all these miraculous signs, they could do all these mighty deeds. If they killed them, why didn't they raise them from the dead? I'll tell you why. Because when God gets through with a person, when God gets through, then we're going home. When God gets through with me, I'm ready to go. Boy, if it's tonight, I'm ready. When he's gotten everything done that he wants me to do, I'm ready to go. Ready to go. When he got through with Peter, got through with Paul, they could still be alive today. Methuselah lived over almost 1,000 years, 960 years. Well, if he lived 960, why couldn't Paul live that long? Well, God didn't want him to live that long. See? Well, they had gifts of tongues. I believe they were for the first century. The early fathers said that these gifts seem to have ceased. There are those today who want to speak in tongues. That's their privilege.
I do not say that no one can speak in tongues today, but I do say that if they're going to speak in tongues according to the New Testament, and we have looked at the evidence in 1 Corinthians, and we'll have to say this, and in Acts chapter 2, we'll have to say that God gave the gift of tongues for the purpose of evangelizing unsaved people in their native language. I wish that everybody who said they had the gift of tongues was doing that today. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No, excuse me, chapter 14 and verse 21. I know no better verse to close on than this. I'll read it and make one word of comment and then we'll read it. It is written in the law, with men of other tongues, other languages, and other lips will I speak to this people, speaking of the Jews. And yet for all this they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. This is very plain. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. It isn't to the saved, but it's to the unsaved. But prophesying, preaching, proclaiming the truth, serveth not to them that believe not, but for the saved, the believers, those who believe. That's the gift. Are you here this morning? You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to know that salvation is God's free gift to you. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day to pay for all your sins. He paid for all of them. The Bible says He has redeemed us from all iniquity. If I had to pay for one sin, I'd have to die and go to hell. Just one, if I told one lie, Jesus didn't pay for it, I'd have to go to hell. If I stole one penny, I had one evil thought, Jesus didn't pay for that sin, I'd have to go to hell. Because the only payment for sin is death. The Lord Jesus Christ died to pay for our sin. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? He died for you too. He paid for your sin. Eternal life is yours when you trust Him. Will you trust Him right now, right where you're sitting? Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the clarity of it. We just pray that Your Holy Spirit would lead us in our understanding of it. We pray we might be able to make the practical application. We know there's no way we can ever learn all about it. We pray that we might have the good sense to continue to learn and to continue to examine the evidence that's there, so that we can come to a full knowledge of the truth. We thank You one day we will know, even as we are known. And we know You know us perfectly. We thank You for that blessed hope. We thank You that one day Jesus is going to come to get us and take us to heaven. We'll be with Him forever. We pray we'll never get away from this idea in our minds, that every day we wake up realizing that Jesus may come any moment. Jesus' name.